lovely show. And my guests today, we have had so many fun conversations, and we could kind of look back to some of our interviews and now look at our podcast setups. But I'm with Jesse Bradley. We're live streaming this. Jesse, thanks for stopping by. Former professional soccer player, doing so many work in ministries, but we can talk about today's topic, mental health and sports, because that's what you went through. And your journey when you were suffering after your professional career and you didn't know what to turn to, and you were dealing with depression, suicidal ideation, and then you overcame all that, but now you're really trying to give back in that area, right?
Neil, thank you so much. Congratulations too on your podcast. I know worldwide is so popular. People appreciate you because you bring inspiration, you're authentic, and you're making a difference. I'm honored to be with you today. And yes, my story includes tragedy. My childhood dream was to play professional sports. And after I graduated from Dartmouth, where, you know, we won Ivy League titles, and then I played overseas, and the dream came true. And then tragically, the dream was crushed. And I was sick overseas, fighting for my life for 1 year, took 10 years to fully recover. All this was side effects of a medication designed to protect me. It was killing me. And then my career was over, and I didn't find hope until I lost it. And what I discovered in that tragedy is sometimes the very best things in life happen at the very lowest points. And yes, my faith in God, the God of hope, that transformed my life. And I gotten involved in ministry as a now serving as a pastor in Seattle, also chaplain of Seattle Sounders. And it's a passion for me when you talk about the intersection between athletes and mental health. And what's true about sports, it's a picture of life. It's relevant to all of us. And people don't win the gold medal in the Olympics without first winning the battle of the mind. We don't win the championship on the field without winning the battle of the mind. And all of us have that between our ears that we're trying to sort through. And one encouragement I want to give today that's practical, there's a difference between distress and eustress. Eustress is the good stress. It creates adrenaline, motivation. We're going, we're alive, we're alert. The distress is unhelpful, what weighs us down, discouragement and despair. We're discouraged and we don't even know what to do with it. Well, sometimes we have first thoughts that come into our mind that bring distress, not eustress. And I call this habit cultivating the power of the second thought. The power of the second thought has three steps. First, you recognize what you're thinking about. Start thinking about what you're thinking about. The first thought might be negative. You can't control the first thought that comes in. It could be selfish. It could be mean. You don't want it. It's not good for you. So the second step is reject it. Reject the negative first thought. Say, not in my house. I'm not going to harbor, believe, or entertain that. And then the third is to replace it. Replace it with a positive, intentional second thought. And as you do that, mental health is going to come. Your thinking is going to be sound. And when your thoughts are sound, it leads to different attitudes and words and responses. Sure. For athletes, if you just make a mistake, you can't dwell on that. You can't keep replaying the old tape. You've got to say with an intentional second thought, right now, new start. And you're blocking out that negative experience from taking over the entire game. Well, that's true for all of us. Beginning of the day, middle of the day, the power of a second thought. And intentionally replace it. For me, I would choose sometimes a Bible verse like God is love. Jesus is with me. That's what speaks to me and inspires me. For you, it might be a verse from a song, or it could be a phrase someone said to you that's meaningful. Choose the power of the second thought ahead of time. So you have a plan, and then you're going to make good decisions because your mind's going in the right direction. So the internal story, Neil, often is what people don't see. They see the outside story. But it all begins on the inside. When you're healthy on the inside, there's going to be fruit on the outside. And we are the ones who really make the choices during the day, like an air traffic controller at the airport, deciding what lands and what doesn't land. We get that choice. I was a goalkeeper on the field. And in my mind, I went into goalkeeper mode. Which shots can't stick? They can't hit the back of the net. And then what am I going to say yes to? And all of us are making those decisions. I say, I love this phrase, just choose hope. Hope is available. Hope is a choice. Hope is habitual. You can cultivate habits to increase hope. And ultimately, there's an indestructible hope that's greater than our challenges.
No, it's very interesting you talk about this. And this is something I've been studying and learning about mindset coaching and mindset. And I've gone through a lot of self-hypnosis at night with the law of attraction, but his rooms with involving God. Diraj Global is very big about this, especially with Jesus and different things and the way there was a, I forget the author back in the 1900s that talked about, you know, baptizing events when bad things happen. I forget her name. I'll have to send you, but it really involves the law of attraction and God and Jesus. People don't talk about that. Let's bring this up. You know, there's a lot of spirituality people out there, but they're not, they don't want to mention God, Jesus when it involves the law of attraction. And it seems like the successful Christians really have a great mindset. They're not bringing the negative points in their lives. They're keeping things so positive, and that's why they're so successful.
It's so practical. The Bible says, think about whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. What a great list. And when we make a mistake, that doesn't define us. It's not the end of the story. We can't live in the past, but we can learn from the past. And I like to say hope is first received. And to do that, we make some hope shifts. I mean, a lot of times for me, I was strong, independent. I wasn't open to receiving hope, receiving love. You know, I didn't come to know Jesus until college at Dartmouth when a professor assigned the Bible. So it's surprising how it plays out in our lives. It's not rules and rituals and religion. This is a relationship and very practical. And when you live out your faith, you love God and you love people with all your mind, and including you love people as you love yourself. So don't get too down on yourself. Don't be too full of yourself. I had a performance-based identity, and if I perform well in school and sports, I was, you know, soaring, and then if I didn't perform well, I was so down on myself. Roller coaster ride, can't have that. So I had to shift. It's like, I have an identity. What I do is not who I am. It doesn't define me. And so I have an identity that's secure now. I know I'm loved. And because of that, now I can enjoy, you know, sports. I can enjoy my job, but it's not my idol. It doesn't, you know, say everything about me. And that's freedom. Ultimately, and that's a healthy shift. So hope, you decide what you put your hope in, and your hope is only as strong as the one in whom you trust. So if you trust someone that's not reliable, your hope is going to get crushed. And where are you going to put that anchor? And I just realized that, okay, God's faithful. I can trust him. You have to discern which people you can trust, you know, which what's true and what's not true. And when you make those hope choices, now you're really in a position where hope is going to increase. And I don't think that God ever runs out of hope. I don't think any of us need to stay in a cave of despair. I came out of that situation where literally I was battling for my mind, my mental health. My body took 10 years to fully recover. I had a heartbeat that had atrial flutter and abnormal rhythms and so many problems with my heart. But I just ran my first marathon. And I thank God for the healing. It was for clean water for kids in Africa. My own son came and ran next to me the last 3 miles. But every step I'm grateful for. Life is a gift. Every day I'm grateful for. I don't take it for granted. And I'm intentionally thankful. I call it a gritty gratitude. If you're feeling down, start serving people and start thanking people. As you thank people and you thank God, I would come up with a list. 10 things. This is what I'm thankful for. And with those 10 things,
it'll make you feel better.
Shifts when you're grateful.
It completely will make you feel better. Let's talk about, you know, performance-based athletes and the successful performance-based athletes. It's all mindset. So the most successful athletes in the world, if you would have had that mindset, Jesse, like using God and on the field to the level and professional and not gotten to that point, where do you think you would end up as a pro athlete? If you really got things right now.
It's learned. So much of what we're talking about today, mental health, I didn't learn it in the classroom. I learned it because I went through a trial. But yes, then you can go back and apply it. And what they did in terms of research with top professional athletes is they found the upper echelon, this was true in tennis, the top five out of the top 25, the top five, the difference is not ultimately their sleep or their nutrition. Their difference is not in the outward. It's in the inward and the thinking. Wow. And what they found is that they can bounce back quickly and they stay positive. So they continue during the match to say, I'm grateful. I get to play today. This is the sport I love. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to enjoy this competition. This person's bringing out the best in me. There's all kinds of challenges for an athlete during the game. There's the pressure you put on yourself. There's a bad call by the ref. There's the other team. There's the fans. I mean, everything's flying at you. There's bait everywhere. And for all of us, there's bait that we can take. But when we say no, and then on the other side of yes, because every time you say no to something, it opens the door in our lives for saying yes to something else. And make room for God, make room for hope, make room for gratitude. As you do that, it's a different trajectory. A lot of times we end up in the wrong spot because we're 1 degree off. And 1 degree off doesn't sound like a lot at the start, but then over time and travel, 1 degree off, if you think you're heading to Hawaii and going to land there, you realize now I'm going to land in the ocean. I'm 1 degree off. So we go back and we realize this is where I was 1 degree off. We make that hope shift, which is life-giving. And it's true for me with athletics. It's true also just as a parent, in my marriage, in my work I do. I'm always that renewing of the mind is so helpful.
And as a chaplain, how much are you helping these young players, even though they're professional athletes, not make the mistakes you made and teach them?
Absolutely. That's the joy, both now in the chaplain role and even as a parent. I know the choices I made. I know there's a better way, and I can coach them along with that. You know, I talk to the players sometimes about the joy of being able to put on a Sounders jersey, the joy of being able to play with teammates that, you know, fans that are cheering you on, the joy of being healthy, like enjoy this, because there's a bell-shaped curve for athletes. And if they're not alert enough, they're going to be flat. It's going to take them 30 minutes to really be having that competitive edge. So you don't want to go into a game a little low energy for whatever reason. You also don't want to put too much pressure on yourself and be kind of white knuckled. And now it's paralysis by analysis. We all do this. We overthink. And what if this happens? What if this happens? You want to be in the zone. And that's the joy right there. And then once they start to have that habit on the field, it carries over off the field as well. The two are connected. And when you give people habits, when you empower them, equip them, encourage them, now they start to realize that worked for soccer. That also works, you know, in conflict with my wife, or that also works when my kids are giving me some attitude, and I can choose my reaction. I can choose my second thought. And now I'm proactive. Now I'm not victim mentality, because there's some things no one can take away from you. Your attitude, your work effort, right? Your prayers, your gratitude. Like, there's a lot of things in life, the most important stuff, that no one can take away from you. So don't give those hope thieves too much power. Don't let them come into your house and hang out there. Set that limit and then guard what's most important.
I mean, the thoughts are amazingly crazy how we're not teaching this in mental health enough about our thoughts. And we don't want to bring out a lot of the negative things that have happened to us, because then our thoughts will continue as our subconscious to really ruin us from getting in success in life. The Game of Life was the book. You have to look it up. The Game of Life.
Very good.
The book is really the thing. And I guess The Game of Life makes a good sense as an athlete. Maybe you have to share that, because then that can share to many, many different things. Where can people best find information on you? Where can they go?
They can find all the resources, justchoosehope.org. Also my personal site, jessebradley.org. And you'll see resources on there that are free: 28 days of hope, 7 days of transformation. You're going to want to take those resources, share them with friends, and then just apply, because we're all growing together. We're all journeying together. We're all in this together. And I'm not arrived, but I'm sharing what made a difference in my life. And I've seen it. You know, we're reaching over 1 billion people through shows like yours right now, and just spreading this message of hope. So I'm grateful for these opportunities. And ultimately, I want to encourage people that the hope is greater than the challenges they face, and they can cultivate hope in their lives. Let's keep doing that daily.
All right. Thanks again, Jesse. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.